Hello, and welcome to the Truth Labyrinth Podcast. My name is J.R. Everhart from Restoration Ministries. I'll be your host today as we enter the labyrinth of truth and transparency, where we look through the lens of God's Word into the human experience of our day-to-day lives. Whether it's recovery principles that you're hungry for, or you're just looking for some answers about Christianity, you've come to the right place. Nothing is off the table on this podcast, and we dive deep into everything that affects our day-to-day walk. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with today's content. Hey guys, I just wanted to take a minute here at the beginning of this first episode of season four and give you guys some resources that have been super huge in my walk and in my recovery. I get people who come to me all the time and ask me, you know, I mean, what resources are you getting your information from? You know, what helped you? What got you where you are? And I mean, that's big, huge stuff, you know, because, you know, I'm basically where I am because I took the time and put in the work to feed myself healthy things. And that starts with the stuff that you allow into your life, you know. I'm constantly having to chop the throttle on the amount of time I spend in front of the TV or even podcasting, you know, even listening to podcasts and stuff like that, because I can geek out on that stuff and got to come back to the things that are really, really getting it done in my recovery and in my walk. So I'm going to share a few resources. I'm going to share some podcasts that I listen to. I'm going to share some books that I listen to, because I read all my books via audio as I'm usually on the road and stuff like that. And I just kind of digest things better when I hear them than when I read them. I grew up dyslexic and with reading comprehension issues, so I'm a very audible person. So being able to listen to books has been a godsend for me. It really sinks in and stays there a lot more when I approach reading from that perspective. But so I guess at the top of this list, and what kind of started it all for me in my life of counseling, was Jay Adams' book, Competent to Counsel, that came out in, I don't know, like the mid to late 70s, early 80s, something like that. That book basically laid out what would become the foundation of modern Christian counseling, you know, and I ran into that early on in life. And, you know, that really inspired me to kind of steer my life and frame my ministry from that perspective, because I just really feel called that way. The next book would be The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. I'm a huge Brennan Manning fan, love his work. If you don't know who Brennan Manning is, he was basically a Catholic priest who got thrown out of the priesthood because he was a raging alcoholic. And, you know, God used that man. You know, he's a wonderful example of how, you know, God can take what was meant for evil and use it for good. And he wrote a series of books. The Ragamuffin Gospel was probably his most popular one, inspired countless you know, ministers and Christian musicians over the years. Rich Mullins was huge into Brennan Manning. I think Michael W. Smith, you know, I mean, some big monster, huge guys in contemporary Christian music got a lot of their foundational stuff from the Ragamuffin Gospel. But he had the Furious Love of God. Google him. You know, you can't go wrong with anything that he's written. He was really spot on with a bunch of stuff. Something else that really helped me, I talk a lot about Celebrate Recovery here on the Truth Labyrinth Podcast, as I've spent 10 years inside of Celebrate Recovery. But the Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Family program, we call it ACA, was super huge in getting me to the next level of my recovery. Celebrate Recovery does a phenomenal job of laying a good, firm foundation and a Christian 12-step kind of, you know, framework to get you up and on your sober legs and get you moving forward and get you peeling off those first couple layers of the onion. I've taught all their all their materials, Life Ceiling Choices. Just finished the First Step Study program last season. And then I've taught the Journey Continues, which is a second step study program that they have. The second step study program has a lot of those ACA principles wrapped up in it. It does dig deeper. But, man, nothing like just a brutal honesty you get out of the ACA program. Their book, their foundational text, is the Big Red Book. I bought it on audiobook, I think, for like $25, and it's been like the best $25 I ever spent in my life, because there's just so much cool stuff in there about unraveling your own dysfunction, putting boundaries in your life, about the toxicity of others in your life, working through abuse issues from your childhood. I mean, it's just gangbusters huge. It actually was birthed out of the Al-Anon program back in the 70s. So I can't recommend that enough. That's super, super huge. Jay Stringer's book, Unwanted, is a super cool book to help with getting past sexual abuse from your childhood and sex addiction. I'm kind of scrolling through my audiobooks here on my phone. Porn Free is a great book. That author actually has a podcast called Porn Free Radio. Absolutely love that podcast. Support that. Super huge. Another book is It's Not About the Sex. That was a super good one. John MacArthur's book, 12 Ordinary Men, is a phenomenal book. He's basically just talking about who the disciples were and how they were just 12 ordinary men, you know, and it really drives home the fact that, you know, God doesn't call perfect people, you know. He just uses people who are brave enough to step forward and say, in spite of my failures and in spite of my sin and in spite of the things, my insecurities and the things that get in the way, I'm going to march forward and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is a super huge book from that perspective. The Body Keeps the Score is a really cool book about dealing with trauma. If you want to dig into trauma work, that's a good place to start. Samson and the Pirate Monks, written by Nate Larkin. Nate Larkin's the guy that started the Samson Society. The Samson Society is an online men's ministry that happens over Zoom. I can't recommend it enough. I know I keep saying that, but all these things have been super huge, fundamental things, foundational things in my walk with in recovery and with Christ. Obviously, the Bible is the core of all this, but these books kind of like rotate around. You know, they orbit around the Bible, you know, and really reinforce a lot of the principles that the Bible lays out. But Samson and the Pirate Monks is just a great, great book. Check out Samson Society. You can Google that and get involved with them. They're just hour-long meetings over Zoom. It's a great way to stay connected, especially when you're on the run like I am. The women's side of that ministry is the Sarah Society. So it operates the same way, just for women. Cold Case Christianity, you know, kind of get into some of the apologetic stuff here. Cold Case Christianity was written by a police detective who was an atheist and decided that he was going to prove Christianity wrong. And in his research and in his efforts to prove Christianity wrong, he ended up becoming a believer and found that it's not as easily dismissed as the enemy may make you want to believe. Another Gospel by Alyssa Childress is another apologetics book that is super cool. I am a big fan of apologetics. I think you should be able to, you know, defend your faith. I think you should be able to, you know, defend things. When people come to the table and say, well, you know, I just can't believe in this book that was written, you know, 2,000 to 6,000 years ago, and it's been translated a bunch of different times. There's been so much lost in the translations and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard it all, you know. Well, when you study apologetics, you will learn how to have those conversations in a gentle, loving, and intellectual way, so that you'll be able to defend the validity of Christianity and the Bible. The Big Book of Christian Apologetics, again, another book that I love concerning apologetics. Charles Swindoll's The Grace Awakening is great. He had one called Saying It Well, which had a lot of his testimony, you know, wrapped up in that book, and some really cool stuff about him personally having to overcome a stuttering issue and things like that. Chuck Swindoll was a huge, you know, pastor and led ministry and did counseling for years and years and years. Obviously, there's a laundry list of C.S. Lewis stuff. The Screwtape Letters are amazing. Mere Christianity. You know, Mere Christianity can be coupled right in with all that apologetic stuff. If you're looking for why, if you honestly, here's the thing that really jacks me up sometimes. People will say, well, I've read the Bible and I've looked into Christianity and, you know, I have a very open mind and, you know, I look into all the faiths of the world and this is kind of where I fall. Well, you can't just get it from the Bible. I mean, you can, and God can work his miracle working graceful power through his word. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from the Bible, but he also blessed men like C.S. Lewis and, you know, guys like that who have written, you know, Brennan Manning, Chuck Swindoll, John MacArthur, you know, these guys that have just written huge fundamental things explaining our faith and explaining the validity of why Christianity is real and why it's true. And, you know, it dismisses all the doubt, you know, and Mere Christianity does a phenomenal job of that, you know. So, yeah, super, super huge book. Do It Afraid by Joyce Meyer. I know Joyce Meyer catches a lot of flack because she came out of the whole prosperity gospel movement. I don't know how much of that she's preaching these days. I don't really hear her talk much about that and the stuff that I listen to from her. I do know for a fact she came out of Kenneth Copeland's ministry and, you know, Kenneth Hagin and all those, you know, prosperity guys. But you know what? If God can use a jackass in the Old Testament to talk to his prophet, he can use anybody to talk to us. You know, Do It Afraid is an amazing book. It really is. Joyce overcame some really hard stuff in her life. She was sexually abused by her father, you know, some things like that. There's some really good truth in that book, as well as Battlefield of the Mind, which was probably her biggest book. So, yeah, I mean, check that out. Joyce Meyer. Let's see, moving right along here. His Needs, Her Needs by Willard Harley is great for married couples looking for a better understanding of what their marriage should look like biblically. Big fan of Dennis Prager. You know, he has done these expository books on Genesis, Exodus, and then I just heard him the other day on a podcast talking about a third book he's getting ready to release. I can't remember which one it was. I'm so sorry I don't have that information off the top of my head. But Google Dennis Prager and his books. He just does a super cool job of getting into those Old Testament books and really expounding on and amplifying, you know, what was being said in the text. It's wonderful. It's wonderful stuff. Moving right along, let's see. I have a bunch of goofy stuff in here, like lost books of the Bible and stuff like that and everything. I study everything. Nothing's really off the table for me. Radical by David Platt. Platt was pretty good. David Platt. I want to make sure I say his name correctly. But then I've kind of heard rumors that maybe Platt has kind of went off the reservation here lately. I got really blessed by Alan Chambers' book, My Exodus. He was the guy who owned Exodus International, which was a ministry in California directed toward the gay and lesbian community. And he was actually the guy that shut that ministry down for what I believe was all the right reasons. But that's a whole loaded conversation we can do a podcast about. And I will this season. I know I've been promising that for about two seasons, but I am going to dive into that and talk about, you know, what I see in God's word about the gay and lesbian community. I think we all know what the Bible says, and I'm not taking anything away from that. You know, I believe the Bible to be the truth, and I believe it to be everything it's supposed to be. But that book really brought up some really good points, especially when he got talking about the suicide rate, you know, and stuff like that with guys that were trying to come out of that. Save Me From Myself by Brian the Head Welch, the guitar player from Korn. Super huge, cool book. He's a radical Christian now, talking about his walking away from meth addiction, you know, and stuff like that, and how his daughter played a key role into him finally, you know, getting clean. Another book by another musician, John Cooper, has a book. He is the singer for Skillet. If you're a big fan of Christian rock, you'll know who Skillet is. I'm trying to find the book. Oh, yeah, here we are. Awaken Alive to the Truth is his new book. That just came out a few months ago. I'm just starting to dig through that. And then Every Man's Battle, sort of a dated book, I would say, in the face of what we've learned about sex addiction. But it was the first book that was brave enough to come out and say, hey, there's a sex addiction issue inside the church. And honestly, you've heard me talk about this before in past episodes. Honestly, there's a ton of information out there that proves that the sex addiction and porn addiction, you know, numbers inside the church really isn't any better than what they are outside the church. You know, so that's why you hear me talk so much about it, because it's an epidemic most people are uncomfortable talking about, and it's something I struggled with in my own life. So, you know, I think every man, of course the book's called Every Man's Battle, I think every man struggles with it to some degree or another. I think in my entire life I've only ever met one person, one man, who could look me in the eye honestly and say that that wasn't something that he struggled with. But every other man I've come across has had to deal with that to some degree or another. I don't know if I mentioned this one or not. Try Softer is a new book that's out. You know, the phrase, we should just try harder. Well, this book is, you know, just coming from a different angle. Try Softer, wonderful book. No Reason to Hide is another. It's more of a biblical worldview type book. You're kind of getting into some of the political stuff and that sort of thing in that book. But it does a really good job of combining Christianity and modern-day politics. That's Erwin Lutzer that wrote that book. So that's enough. I mean, we're, you know, 10, 12, 15 minutes into this opening statement here. That's what inspires me. You know, podcasts I listen to, the Pirate Monk podcast. I listen to a whole bunch of preaching podcasts. I like Mark Driscoll, you know. I listen to a bunch of guys that are not so widely accepted. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I listen to a bunch of like Andy Stanley and some of those guys or whatever. But some of those guys, their theology's gotten kind of out in left field. I don't let that super screw me up, because I'm never surprised when we find out that the pastor's a sinner. Because guess what? He is, you know. And, you know, sometimes we... You know, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody. Sometimes we just say really stupid stuff, you know, when we're trying to teach and we're trying to counsel and stuff like that. We don't get it right all the time. And some of these pastors have definitely walked that out. You know, Mark Driscoll had Mars Hill out there in Seattle, Washington for, you know, years, and huge multi-campus super church, and just walked away from the whole thing, you know. Had to face the reality that he was a jerk. You know, and people didn't want to serve under him anymore. And he moved to Arizona and started another church, and that's the ministry that I listen to. I really like his teaching. I think it's very meat and potatoes kind of, you know, gospel stuff. Matt Chandler, huge fan of Matt Chandler. I love pastors who go through the Bible verse by verse, you know, and Mark Driscoll and Matt Chandler and a whole bunch, John MacArthur, a bunch of those, you know, highly educated theological guys, man. I really enjoy listening to them from the sense of, you know, hearing all the archaeological and historical things that are around the scriptures that, you know, most pastors don't talk about. You know, I grew up in a church culture where they just hammered scripture constantly with no explanation of what, you know, what did the ancient world look like when Jesus was walking the earth? What was the political culture, you know, when Jesus was walking the earth? Because all those things make a huge difference in how you digest the word, because you can put them in cultural context. And those guys do super, super great jobs with that. I like Wretched Radio, which is a Christian radio program, hour-long Christian radio program, happens every day. I don't agree with everything all these guys say, but I agree with most of what they say. You know, it's like the old saying, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones, you know. So with reading books, listening to podcasts, or following, you know, teachers, you know, online and stuff like that, or even in your local church, you always need to weigh everything they say against the Word of God, and you need to weigh, you know, their opinions and the things that aren't Bible, about the Bible against the Word of God, you know, myself included. Please, you know, please fact check me. I'm okay with that, you know. I'm about living transparently and living in truth, and I'm trying to bring truth to the table here in this podcast. So, yeah, there's the super way too long opening to episode one of season four and all the resources that I go to and the things that I do in my walk with Christ. So hang on. The main content of this, and I'll try to abbreviate that a little bit, is coming up next. All right, now welcome back. So, season four. Wow, crazy, crazy stuff. I can't believe this podcast is still thriving and still going, 4 years into this. And I just really wanted to have a casual conversation with you guys in this season four opener. I really didn't share a bunch about what was going on in my world and what God was doing with me over the last year, because season three was basically eaten up with the Celebrate Recovery Step Study Series. And I just really, really felt God telling me to get that in its entirety up on for podcast availability. And, you know, I'm very passionate about that program because it, you know, that's kind of where I got my start. That's kind of where, you know, God really laid the foundation of what would be the rest of my life. I've been a Christian since 1994, but I really didn't get gut level honest and serious about working on me and peeling the layers of the onion that is my toxicity and is my dysfunction until, you know, I don't know what it was, 2011, 2012, I think is what it was. So about 10 years ago. And I had some things happen in my life that, you know, just broke me on the deepest levels. And I was in a situation where it was either get involved in recovery or kill myself. I had my testimony up in season one for a long time and then just decided to take it down because I wanted to redo it. And I'm still working on that, so pray for me about that. I haven't really gotten to a place where I feel like I know how to tell that story now, because my original testimony was basically just framed from a exercise my counselor gave me 10 years ago when I first started all this. And, you know, it wasn't really just me speaking from the heart. It was just like line data, you know, like this is what happened at this age. This is what happened at that age and, you know, so on and so forth. And now I think I would tell my testimony in a different light. And I'm going to post that in season four. I promise you guys. So hold me accountable to that. But yeah. So, you know, Celebrate Recovery is kind of where I was able to get my legs underneath of me and was able to walk, you know, in a higher plane of freedom. I always had really strong faith, was always called to preach and teach and all that kind of stuff throughout my entire walk. But it wasn't until I got involved in recovery and in Celebrate Recovery that God really, really fine-tuned all that into a counseling ministry. And I really just think that that's where I belong and that's where I'm supposed to be. So here I am, you know. So last year was a crazy year, you know. I mean, I'm recording this on January 2nd, 2023. And, you know, I have a whole lot to say, man. I'm not going to say it all in this episode, but I have a whole lot of things to cover from this past year. I did, as I was doing the Step Study Series online with the podcast, I was also writing for a Samson Society blog in Mississippi. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, my thoughts and my struggles and my work throughout 22 on that blog. I think it's out of Jackson, Mississippi or something like that. It's a guy I met on Samson Society that kind of asked me to start writing for that, and I did. And it was a really good resource, and it was a really good place for me to kind of get really crazy honest about what was going on with me and stuff like that. So there's some pretty deep and provocative things in those blog posts. If you're interested in such things, you know, I'm sure you can find it. Just, you know, Google Samson Society blog, Jackson, Mississippi, or something like that, and you'd probably be able to find it. Nevertheless, it was a year of 22 was a year. I'm just kind of looking back now. 22 was kind of a year of extremes, you know. Like, I was extremely successful with CLP Audio and Staging, made a lot of money, you know, really, God's really been good to me, you know, with that. But at the same time, and in the face of all that success, I was just absolutely paralyzed by loneliness, you know. That's really tough. Middle-aged loneliness, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, that's the daily cross that, you know, we all have to bear to some degree or another. If you're single, I turned 50 in 22. So, you know, 50 is really kicking my rear end on many levels. You know, like turning 30 and turning 40 never bothered me, but 50 has been tough. My body is letting me know that I'm 50. You know, it's been really hard to keep my eyes on the prize, man, you know, and I've really struggled, you know, throughout 22 because of the loneliness and all that kind of stuff. And I know that there's a million other people out there that are dealing with all these things as well. So I'm not trying to, you know, draw any sympathy toward me. I'll be fine. You know, I'll get wherever God wants me to go, whenever God wants me to get there. And that's just kind of how I look at it. But out of that suffering always comes huge amounts of inspirational writing. You know, whenever I read the Bible, man, it seems like, you know, whenever the people of Israel were being oppressed by their enemies and enslaved is when they were closest to God. And inside Celebrate Recovery, we always teach that God doesn't waste a hurt. You know, if you're hurting for some reason or another, he's going to use that to help grow you. He's going to use that to draw you closer to him. You know, it's crazy because it's like when, you know, I'm making tons of money and I'm got everything that I want, you know, monetarily or financially in my life. You know, I don't pray as much as I should. You know, I'm not on my knees before God like I should be. You know, I'm just not as close to God as what I am when I'm going through a bunch of crap. You know, and I think that bears out in everybody's life. I think that dog will hunt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're all kind of there, you know, and I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he said that it was, you know, easier to thread the eye of a needle with a camel than to bring a rich man to the revelation of the gospel that he was teaching. You know, if you're not going through some crap, man, you know, it's hard to get past your pride. See, because that's what happens. You know, when you're going through a bunch of crap, it diffuses and extinguishes your pride in many ways because you're hurting. Nothing will extinguish pride more than pain, you know? And when you're going through a season of sorrow or you're on the suffer bus or whatever it is, I've heard all preachers call it 20 different things, a season of trial and, you know, all this crazy stuff. You know, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to really press in and lean into your faith in Christ, or you're going to run and self-medicate. And for both those reasons is why I'm sitting here. Because I've done all the above, you know, man. I have been lost in addiction and alcoholism and sex and, you know, everything else, and tried to make myself feel better with the things of this world. None of which ever had any kind of lasting satisfaction to it. Just kind of what it is in this world. But, you know, it always drew me toward Christ, you know. It always gave me hope. And, you know, Jesus really spoke to me one time. I was in an open share meeting when I was living in Harrisonburg, and he spoke to me. He says, "Why can't you love yourself the way I love you?" And boy, that just kind of like blew my mind, man. It jacked me up hard for days trying to digest that. It's like when God speaks to you, says one sentence, and you spend 10 years trying to figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, how about that? You know, how about that? You know, I'm definitely someone, and I only share these intimate details about my life because I know that there's other people that feel this way. I know there's people who listen to this podcast that feel these things. So, you know, and I have no shame in my game. So I don't care, man. I lived my sin out loud for the whole world to see, and I will live my recovery out loud for the whole world to see. You know, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not easy to do these kind of podcasts, but I think it's necessary, and I think there's power in your testimony. But yeah, so, you know, I'm somebody who self-mutilates emotionally, you know, who self-hates. You know, it always reminds me of the Chris Farley thing on Saturday Night Live where he's like, "I'm so stupid. God, I'm such an idiot." You know, and that's how I feel sometimes. You know, there's just times where I just can't get it right. You know, that's life. And that's why we need the gospel. And that's why Jesus hung on a cross, is so that I don't have to live inside that guilt and condemnation and shame. I don't have to live a life of shame. It says in Isaiah 53 that the chastisement of our peace was upon him when he hung on the cross. That means anytime the enemy's coming and trying to jack your groove and trying to tell you that you're nobody and that you're never going to be enough and, you know, you're not beautiful enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not smart enough, you're not wealthy enough, or, you know, you're just not good enough, you know, to be loved, then that's when we remind ourselves that Christ bore that on the cross. He bore that chastisement of our peace on the cross so that we can be free. And, you know, Jesus just challenged me, man. He was like, "Why can't you love yourself the way I love you? Why can't you cut yourself a break, man?" And that changed something in me. There was a paradigm shift that happened inside me, you know, when I heard those words. And I just stopped keeping score, you know? It was huge. I just stopped keeping score. I stopped keeping score of all the times I failed. I stopped keeping score of, you know, all my failed marriages and all that kind of stuff, because when you keep score, and the enemy knows this, when you keep score, you're always going to lose because you're living in a world where the cards are stacked against you in a manner to where the only way you can win is through salvation in Jesus Christ. It's salvation. That word alone means it's saving you from something. It's saving you from yourself. Well, at least that's how it works out for me. It's saving me from me, you know, sitting here and telling myself how worthless I am and how I have no value in this world. And it's extinguishing those lies. Jesus doesn't just love me. He likes me. He likes my heart. He likes who I'm trying to become. And that's hard to believe sometimes. You know, it really is. It's hard to believe that in all my failure that I'm enough. And I'm not enough because of me. I'm enough because of him. I'm enough because he loved me before I could even learn how to love myself. And over the last 10 years, he has taught me how to love myself. And he's taught me how to let go of the things that were getting in the way of my freedom. And a lot of that was keeping score, man. Keeping score. You know, he's not keeping score. And the Bible says that when we repent of our sins, that he remembers them no more. Cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Well, we need to take a big old bite of that ourselves and give ourselves a break. And not crucify ourselves on the cross, because deep down we don't believe that Christ's sacrifice was enough for our sin. We feel like we have to make ourselves suffer. man, I know people right now that are living that out. They're living that out right now. They think because they did X, Y, and Z, or they think because they're unworthy of love that they have to suffer. Man, that's karma. That's not grace. Karma says you get what you deserve. Grace says you don't get what you deserve because Christ paid the price for you. So make sure you keep that straight. You're enough. You just have to believe you're enough. And you know, the second I stopped keeping score was the beginning of a whole different season of my life. And I went through a divorce during that season. And boy, you want to talk about, you want to talk about, you know, self-hatred and you know, beating yourself up over, you know, your failures. Man, nothing brings that stuff to the surface like divorce. You know, I mean, golly. And I mean, it's been tough, man. It's been tough. It was my third divorce on top of it. So then I was hearing all the voices in my head, you know, talk about how I'm a three-time loser and who's ever going to want to be with a guy that's been divorced three times and, you know, all just all the nutso crazy lies of the enemy. He is such a punk, man. He goes right, you know, for the jugular every single time. Because he just wants to steal and destroy, you know, and he wants to bring decay into your life, you know. And when you go through the throes of divorce, man, it just eats you alive from the inside out, you know. It's like we go through these stages of, you know, at first it's like ding dong, the witch is dead. And then after all that phase passes and it's like, you know, you just miss them desperately. And then all you can remember is the good times and the enemies plowing you over with that stuff. And anything you can do to get you to that point where you're, you know, putting a gun in your mouth, you know what I mean? And if you're not staying connected and if you're not staying, you know, in the company of supportive friends who really know how to support, not just smile and nod and pat you on the back and tell you everything's going to be okay. But people who know how to be your cheerleaders in the small victories of your life. Dude, you can't. It breaks me even to this day. It really does. It breaks me. If I sit here and think about it, you know, for a minute, you know, I'll be in tears and be just absolutely ate up. Because that's how the enemy works. You know, he doesn't want to bring anything positive into your life. Everything that comes from the culture of hell is destructive and it has a constant state of decay in place. But, you know, I'm trying to live in the culture of heaven, which is grace and forgiveness and not getting what you deserve, you know, and things like that. I mean, obviously, if you go rob a bank, you know, they're going to put you in jail for that. You're going to get what you deserve there. But you'll still be able to repent and go to heaven. So, you know, don't forget that there's earthly consequences to our actions. But at the same time, man, when you're talking about psychological stuff and you're talking about, you know, looking back and realizing how deeply you loved someone and just how you took that for granted, you know, and how you just, you know, didn't play it out the way you could have played it out. Or, you know, just realize, excuse all the sniffling, guys, I have chronic sinus issues and this time of year is always tough on me. But yeah, even if you're in a situation where, you know, divorce was the best option for you and your family, it still sucks. You know, even if your marriage has been dead for years and, you know, this is just finally the closure that it needed, it still sucks, especially with your kids and stuff like that. I mean, I know when I went through my first divorce, it was horrible, man. That's as close as I ever came to, like, really going over the edge. I mean, really going over the edge as I had ever been. Because there was kids involved, you know? I love my kids, and thankfully, God has been very good to me and has blessed my children. And my children are all, you know, sober and, you know, living productive lives and all that kind of stuff. But it was hard to look into the eyes of a 5-year-old little girl and have to deal with the fact that mommy and daddy aren't together anymore. And you're not going to make a kid, you're not going to make a kid understand, you know, why those things are. Because God never intended the family to fall apart the way it has for the last, you know, 40 or 50 years. It's insane, man. It's absolutely insane, you know. So those are all the things that I've kind of been, you know, unraveling and digesting and, you know, seeking God with and stumbling, you know, doing all the you know, the stupid stuff that it goes along with, you know, the season of suffering and the season of pain. And I don't mean to be like Debbie Downer about all this kind of stuff, because there's enormous amounts of hope involved in all this. But being able to talk about it and being able to, you know, vent it out and to flesh it out with my support system and to be transparent and to be confident enough to get on a public podcast like this and talk about these very intimate things of my life, you know, that stuff goes a long way, man, you know, and it points toward maturity and it points toward the idea of, you know what, there is a level of emptiness and brokenness in the hearts of every human being walking the earth. But when you keep your eyes on Christ and you learn to love yourself the way he loves you, life gets a whole lot easier real quick. It really does. You know, so I would just leave you with that, and I will challenge you with that, is to be brave enough to love yourself with the mercy and the kindness and the gentleness that Christ has for us. Because all it takes is a repentance of your sins, and bam, you're in right standing with God again. It's that easy. You know, maybe you're someone who's never made that decision in your life. You know, maybe you're someone who's, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard anybody really talk on this level about, you know, walking with Christ and the struggles and the hardship that is, you know, the human experience on earth. I think we all can understand the pain and suffering that is being here, but maybe this is the first time you've heard someone talk about it from the perspective of a Christian and framing God and Christ in a way to where they're your friend and not just some pissed off old man sitting on a throne looking to judge you for every wrong thing you've ever done, because that's not the way it works. My favorite scripture in the whole Bible is Romans 8:1. It says, "Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." That means if you're following Christ and you've surrendered your life to Christ, God's not condemning you. So why are you condemning you? And that's the crossroads I came to. And that's where the whole keeping score and all that kind of stuff just had to be dismissed and I had to let go of that. I just did. It makes church people mad all the time. Because church people are on high horses and they just, you know, think that everybody should be walking this, you know, this tightrope of holiness all the time. And look, you know, I am a firm believer that God's commands and his laws and, you know, his desires for our well-being, you know, run in parallel with his grace. You know, he still wants you to do the right thing. He still wants you to be a good person. Grace does not make sin safe. And grace is not an excuse just to be whatever wretched form of yourself you want to be. Grace is merely there for those that are genuinely trying to be better people and fail. That's what grace is for. You know, so, I mean, if this is the first time that you've ever heard this, you know, sort of message or heard the gospel laid out in this manner, and you want to discover God on this level, or you want to have a deeper relationship with God, just pray this prayer with me. Lord Heavenly Father, I have a whole laundry list of doubts and a whole laundry list of questions about many of the things that you say in your word. Or, you know what, Lord? I just don't feel worthy. I don't feel like I'm someone who can get clean enough to be a Christian, who can, you know, sweep up the dysfunction of their life enough to call myself a Christian. So here I stand in brokenness. And in blind faith, I just submit myself to you. I recognize and confess that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. I receive that forgiveness through his sacrifice on the cross and the power that came from his resurrection 3 days later. Lord, I know those things to be true in my heart. I can feel it. I just confess those things and I give you all my junk. I give you all my dysfunction, all my doubt, you know, all the questions, and I just surrender to you. I give myself to you, Lord, to use in whatever manner you see fit. I lay all my gifts and talents at your feet. And I ask you to use me, Lord. I ask you to recreate me into someone that your glory can shine through, into someone who has a heart of compassion for the hurting in this world, and that can spend the rest of my life pointing people toward your beautiful mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Amen. If you have found value in this podcast, please consider giving to this ministry. The Truth Labyrinth is only one aspect of Restoration Ministries. We raise money regularly for needy people right here in our own community. Just this past Christmas season, we raised over $1,000 for a woman struggling with spinal cancer and was able to bring hope to someone who had lost all hope. We've bought handicap vans for the disabled. We paid utility bills for single moms. And we've paid for hundreds of casual meals for those who were in need of one-on-one counseling, but uncomfortable with an office environment. Listen, guys, sometimes it's much easier for someone to open up and ask for help over a meal than it is to walk into a counselor's office and lay on a couch. God has and is using Restoration Ministries in ways that break traditional church protocol. I personally believe we have to earn the right to speak into someone's life, and it takes time to build those bridges, many times unraveling years of church hurt and dysfunction. This is what Christian ministry should look like in today's world. God should be glorified through our efforts to help the world around us, but it takes resources to do these things. For years, I've paid for a lot of these things out of my own pocket without hesitation. Or I've organized a benefit concert or some kind of fundraising campaign to provide these services for the people that God puts in my pathway. I will continue to give to these causes with everything that I have, but I need your support. It takes money and time to produce this podcast. Many hours go into praying over and organizing these messages, not to mention actually recording the messages and all the post-production editing and stuff that needs to happen with that. This ministry isn't about building an empire. It's about connecting hungry hearts with the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have no aspirations of becoming some wealthy preacher or tycoon ministry leader. I am content with the world that I live in, and my little world is pretty peaceful and satisfying. I definitely don't need the drama that comes along with big ministry and tycoon leadership egos. I'm just trying to make my tiny little piece of the world better. I need your support. So please pray about supporting this ministry financially. I will post links in the notes of this podcast so that you can send your gift online. Next, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a review so others can see what's going on here, especially your 5-star reviews. The more you review us, the higher we rank in search listings, and this allows people to discover us easier. Finally, please pray for this ministry. Pray God will provide for our needs here at the Truth Labyrinth. Pray that God will bring this podcast across the screens of those that need to hear these messages. The Bible tells us that God's ear is upon the lips of the righteous. Guys, He hears our prayers. And we need His constant guidance for each and every podcast and everything that Restoration Ministries does. So pray that He uses this podcast to turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, and that His truth will turn those hearts toward His eternal mercy and grace. Ooh. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that it blessed you and brought you a fresh understanding of our lives in this world and our need for unity in Christ. A brush fire of revival in Jesus Christ is our only hope for satisfaction and true joy as we walk out the human experience that is our day-to-day lives. It's been my sincere honor to be your host today at the Truth Labyrinth Podcast. Be blessed and be a blessing to those around you. Till next time, I leave you with a scripture from Ephesians 6:23-24. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ.